flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Kendall, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How about yourself?
Doing well.
You know, we had an interesting conversation this morning where we were talking about the trade deadline. And, you know, obviously, that's kind of what's next here is what happens at the trade deadline. We look around the league and we see all the things that are lined up, all the rumors that are floating around out there. How, you know, the problem with the Bulls and trading someone is if indeed they kind of bite the bullet and do that, and they've got guys with expiring contracts, so it would make sense. They can preserve the draft pick, and that would be a win, but I don't know that that's enough. I don't know that you'd get much. It's almost like you're going to lose whatever trade you make because of the situation that you're in as a team.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that one. I mean, I'm not going to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. You know, the way that Zach and Vooch have played this season so far, I mean, they're going to, of course, warrant interest because those guys that have all-star numbers. You know, I thought actually Zach possibly had an outside shot to make the all-star team. Unfortunately, because of our record, this season he did not make the team, but he's been right there with all of the top guys in the league. So has Vooch, especially in the Eastern Conference. He's been one of the better big men, and I know that there's several teams looking to add guys like that to their roster, especially teams that are trying to make a run at the championship, specifically the Milwaukee Bucks, the Denver Nuggets. You know, the Golden State Warriors have expressed interest in, mm-hmm. in Nikola Vucevic. But it all depends on, you know, what we're going to get back. I mean, are you going to give me an all-star caliber player back or a young player that has potential to be an all-star? That's really the only way that I'm going to make a trade. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we should tank and, you know, we should try and go for the draft pick, you know, getting the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes or the Ace Bailey sweepstakes. Well, you know, I actually think we already have that guy in Bucellis. You know, Bucellis, all he needs is, in my opinion, he needs more time on the floor. He is 6'10". He does all of the things that those guys down in college do. And let's not forget, he's supposed to be a sophomore in college. Okay, he's a young guy that I believe you can build around, and he's got a world of talent. You know, I thought he was going to be a top five pick, but he fell to the Bulls at number 11, which was a blessing. But you know, you don't know that right now, but in 2 or 3 years, you'll know that down the road because of the development that he's going to have over these next 2 or 3 summers.
That's interesting. I want to get to that in a moment, but Kendall, I understand why. Typically, you don't want to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. But I do wonder what you think about how much pressure there is on AK to do just that because of his propensity to just stand pat and you're running in place and really not going anywhere that is a clear direction. Do you think that pressure will outweigh what you traditionally would expect? You know, you would be reluctant to make a trade just to make a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the pressure that's on him. I mean, especially, you know, publicly from the fan base saying that, you know, we're going to be a perennial play-in team and, you know, we're tired of being in this position. But, you know, you got to do what you think is right. I mean, and AK has always stuck with his guns. I mean, this has been his history since before he came to the Bulls. You know, he doesn't really make a lot of moves that don't make sense. And, you know, they may make a move. I mean, I don't know whether it'll be one of the core guys. It might be, you know, one of the guys. I mean, perhaps Kobe White isn't playing. I mean, I think that the only untouchable guy on this roster really is Bucellis right now. You know, I mean, I've heard rumors about Kobe White, even though, you know, I think Kobe is still a very important part of this team. I'd hate to see if any of these guys be traded, but I understand the business. This is what it is. But we just have to wait and see. We got about, a week or so left?
Mm-hmm.
So we will see. I know it's a nervous time for the guys, though. I mean, everybody, if I was anybody in the NBA, I'm not buying real estate right now.
What's fascinating to me is, like, the Warriors are considered, you know, a team that's in play. The question is, are they trying to get Jimmy? Are they trying to get Zach? Are they trying to get Vooch? And then you look at the Suns, and they've collected draft picks. Who are they trying to get? And what's your take on the whole Jimmy thing, everything that's going on down there? You know, I hate when a guy is, you know, just – I hate when a guy is forcing himself out of town and it looks like he's not going to be able to happily go back there after having a pretty good run there.
Yeah, I mean – I don't understand that, but I mean, that's been the history of Jimmy. I mean, I think, you know, Jimmy's been entwined in these type of relationships with the Bulls, with the Timberwolves, somewhat with the 76ers, and now the Miami Heat. And, you know, he's got to understand he's 35 years old. You know, he's in the twilight of his career. He's still a very capable player, but, you know, teams are not going to tolerate this type of behavior when you're long in the tooth. Yeah, he's still, in my opinion, an all-star caliber player, still capable of carrying a team. But, you know, at some point you got to realize things have changed and you can't behave like you're 23 years old. I mean, because sometimes teams will put up with that stuff, you know, when you're a younger player and you got a long time. But You're doing that once again, and then on top of that, you're doing it to Pat Riley, you know. And I played for Pat Riley for one season. This guy doesn't play around, man. You know, if you screw around with him, he's going to try and find a way to get rid of you. And you know, not to a team that you want to go to. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Miami Heat tried to send him to Utah or Portland or something like that.
So, Kendall, that would serve him right, actually, for talking his way out of another town. So, back to Bucellis, because I think your perspective on him is interesting, and especially in light of what we heard from Billy Donovan less than a week ago, I thought very candid, and he's been very honest and open about what Matas Bucellis is and what he isn't yet, and he talked about not being ready for 30 minutes a game, and so the idea that this remainder of the season should be devoted to developing your rookie first round draft pick. He didn't sound like any minutes, all the minutes are always good minutes, and that there are limitations defensively that you need to protect him against. What do you think about the way that the Bulls are using him and the way that Billy Donovan has explained it?
No, I mean, I agree with Billy as far as the minutes. I mean, 30 minutes for a game, yeah, that's too much for him right now. But, you know, I like the way that Billy is bringing him in during crucial situations sometimes, playing him in fourth quarters. And then, you know, he's not finishing games, but he's getting an opportunity to play crunch time with the first unit. And, you know, I just like to see him get more in to play with the starters more. So, you know, he does play with the bench guys that come out, which is good, but I like to see him play with Zach, Vooch, and all those guys to get the experience of what it's like to be a starter. Because, honestly, David, he is the future of this franchise, you know, and if you can build around him and get him those that crucial experience right now, he's going to be better next year and the following year.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
I saw him interviewed. I think it was Joe Cowley. This was a clip online, and he asked him a question about that, and he's looking at him, and he just says, elaborate. And then Joe has to change, which is a great word, and then Joe has to change the question a little, and then he says, if I'm not playing against the best players, how do I develop? I need to play against whoever the top players. And I thought, that's a great attitude to have. Whether you're outmanned and whether you're going to get humiliated, you're not worried about that. You just want to get better any way you can.
Look, you know, I've been watching Modest since he's in the seventh grade. Okay, he used to play with the Mac Irvin Fire, the same AAU team that my son played for. So in Phoenix, he used to scrimmage against Modest, and you know, I've watched Modest for a long time, and he's had this type of attitude throughout ever since he was a little kid, you know. And you know, the comment that he made before the draft, the kid Richesay, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, from the number one pick for the Atlanta Hawks. I can distinctly remember when Modest said, "Listen, he doesn't want to see me." I love that attitude, you know, and that's the attitude that this franchise needs going forward. A guy that believes in himself, a guy that wants to improve, a guy that's going to bring it each and every night. And that's what I see. I mean, did you guys see that dunk he had the other night?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he just went straight down the lane, knocked the guy down, went straight down the lane and dunked it. And Nikola Jokic was standing right there. He's not afraid of anybody. You know, and that's what you want. Yeah, I'd rather have a guy that's overly aggressive that I have to say, okay, let's pull back the reins a little bit, than a guy I have to nudge all the time. You know, and that's Bucevic.
Kendall, Northwestern could have used your son the other night against Rutgers. maybe next year. But I think when you see that game, curious what your perspective is. You mentioned prospects. We're talking about development. Ace Bailey had 37 points the other night against Northwestern. He's a guy that is probably top five in the draft. I know it's very early, but we are talking about the Bulls and what's going to happen next. When you talk about Cooper Flagg and what everybody wants next year in him, there are other guys in this draft that are generational. Is he one of them, Ace Bailey?
Yeah, he is. I like Ace Bailey to be the number one pick. I like Cooper Flagg Ace Bailey, Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper.
Yeah. And Harper didn't play in that game.
Yeah, and Harper didn't play in that game. Those are the top three guys. So, you know, is Harper a generational pick? I don't know, but I think that that Ace Bailey and Cooper Flagg possibly could be, because those guys can really change the game. You saw what Ace Bailey did the other day to Northwestern. I mean, 37 points, and he was doing it off in less than two dribbles, which is what a pro can do. So that lets you know that he's ready right now. And, you know, Cooper Flagg, of course, has been – I didn't know Cooper Flagg was going to have such a great year, the great year that he's having. I thought that he would have a pretty good year, but this kid is having an All-American year. And, you know, it surprised me. And Cooper's number one talent is his effort, much like Bucevic. Okay? Their number one talent is that they bring it each and every day and they have a high motor. And that's what you want in your players.
Kendall, if they went to 10-minute quarters when you were playing, you'd still be in the league.
Hey, listen, I don't know about that. I'm in shape enough to play ping pong right now. So, you know.
What do you think about that, though? What do you think about that possibility?
Of going to 10-minute quarters?
Yeah.
Nah, keep it the same.
That's right.
You know, keep it the same. I don't want to see that change, because, you know, high school is 8 minutes now. You'll see guys' numbers going down. Guys won't like it. You know, sometimes it's best to just, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, you talk about the three-point line, I take corner threes away.
Why would you do that?
So to make the 3-point shot more valuable, you know, because I think there's way too many threes taken right now. I mean, what are Boston Celtics average 53 threes a game?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'd like to see some of the mid-range game come back, or perhaps move the 3-point line back a little bit, you know, to make it more challenging.
Move it on the corner to a point where you're more likely to step out of bounds than actually be in bounds. You could try it, but you'd be on your tippy toes.
Right, exactly.
So back to the Bulls in terms of the trade deadline approaching. Curious what your thoughts are on Lonzo Ball. He's a guy that I think is one of the better stories in the league this year, just what he's overcome to stay on the court. And now he's up to 25 minutes plus. And you almost take for granted the fact that he is in the mix. Is he a guy that, as teams look at, you know, adding for the playoffs, how attractive is he? How risky would that be to trade for a guy like Lonzo Ball?
I don't think it would be too risky at this point, because he's shown that he is 100% back as far as his health is concerned. Maybe his skill level probably isn't back to where it was prior to his injury, but it's close. I'm a guy that thought Lonzo would never play again.
Yeah.
And to see him come back and to play at this level is unbelievable, you know, and it makes me think back to, man, and same thing with Derrick Rose. I mean, what if, you know, he hadn't gotten hurt, you know, with DeMar and Zach and Vooch and all those guys. Of course, we were number one in the Eastern Conference until after the All-Star game, you know, prior to his injury. And, you know, the things that he still does, I mean, the way that he can quarterback this team, you know, the way that he gets the basketball to everybody that needs it in scoring position. You know, the team, they totally change when he's on the court. You know, everybody knows that he's general. They give him the basketball and he makes stuff happen, and people and the guys love playing with him. So if I'm on trying to get a veteran guy, a point guard to make me advance in the playoffs, I'm definitely going to look at Lonzo Ball. You know, because he's exactly what you need. And also now his three-point shot is starting to come around. You know, so it's a great story, as you said, David. And, you know, I wish him well, man. I wish that he hadn't gotten hurt, because we'd be talking about a lot of different things here in Chicago for the Bulls.
No doubt about that. I'm curious. The problem with trades always the same, which is the guys you really want to move, their contracts don't allow you to do so. And the guys you don't really want to move, if you're saying that everybody should be available, the guys you really don't want to move are the guys that have the most value, because their contracts are easy to trade. So, like, if someone wanted, you know, Kobe to an extent, Io, someone like that, it would be really easy to get a deal done because it's not much money. But it doesn't mean that that it makes you any better. And if you want it, like, let's say, and I don't know how you feel about Patrick Williams, but like his skill set vis-a-vis his contract makes him very difficult to move. Too many years left.
Yeah, he just signed a new contract. But, you know, here's the thing. The past two games, the way that Billy has used Patrick off of the bench and the way that Patrick has responded, he's had two great games. I don't know, maybe that's the spot for him, you know, being the first option offensively off of the bench. He seems a lot more aggressive. But it's only two games. I mean, it's just a sample size. We have to see how it goes, you know, 10, 15 games, whether this is the role Patrick best fits. And, you know, if he does, I think that's his role going forth. And, you know, hey, listen, I don't mind his contract if he can do the things that he's done the past two games off of the bench for me. If he can do that, I think it's a great value. Because he doesn't have to worry about, you know, Zach or Vooch or Kobe or Giddy being the first option ahead of him. You know, when he comes off of the bench, it seems like he says, you know, I'm the first option. I'm going to shoot the basketball. I'm going to be a lot more aggressive. That's what I've seen over the past two games now. Like I said before, if he gives me that type of value, I think the contract is a great value for him.
Great stuff, Kendall. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Kendall.
Have a good weekend.
All right, guys.
Hey, football fans. It's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.